Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Creative Kindergarten Podcast. My name is Amanda, and I'm an early childhood educator in Ontario, Canada. And this podcast is a place where I talk about all things kindergarten. I pick a topic for the week, and I share my thoughts, my ideas, my learning around that topic. Last week's episode, I talked to you about the vocabulary around sight words, high frequency words, irregular words, what they mean, how I teach them to my students. And this week, I wanted to dive in a little bit more into how I use teaching high frequency words to my students in order to teach them other skills. So this might be a kind of short episode, but I thought it deserved its own little part of my podcast to itself, just so that I can kind of ramble a little bit more about the different skills that I can use to teach through high frequency words. So again, I think I said this in last week's episode, this is my current understanding of how I am teaching literacy or language skills to my students. My knowledge, my understanding, and like my understanding of the research behind reading skills might change over time, but right now, this is what worked with my students for the past few years and what I am building on moving forward with them. So with that being said, let's jump into this week's episode of the Creative Kindergarten Podcast. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, there is a difference between a sight word and a high frequency word. I'm trying to change my vocabulary around it. So I'm going to try to make sure I'm using the high frequency words when I'm talking about this, because most of these words are not sight words yet for my students, because we're just teaching them the words now. They're just learning how to decode. So they're not sight words yet. They're just high frequency words that we're trying to make into sight words for my students. So after I've chosen the sight word that I'm teaching my student that week, I can look at the word and then decide if it is a word that students can decode on their own, or if it's an irregular word for them where I'm going to have to teach them using the heart word method. Again, these are all things that I talked about last week. So if I am teaching the word can, and those are all sounds that I've probably taught them up until that point with their phonics routine. So they should know the sound for C, A, and N, and they should be able to decode it. This is the perfect opportunity to practice those decoding skills with my students. It's a CVC word. So especially when we are just learning how to decode words, my lesson around that high frequency word might just be a lesson around decoding that word so that we can practice it and then hopefully move it into my students' long-term memory, make it into a sight word my students through their decoding skills. So when it's a regular word that they can decode, I'm usually practicing decoding skills with them. I might also practice making a sentence with that word in it. So I might say, okay, we've learned the word can. Can anybody think of a sentence with the word can in it? And so one kid will probably say, I can walk, let's say. And when they tell me that, then I say, all right, let's count how many words are in that sentence. And then I put up my hand and I'm doing it, but you can't see me right now. I'll put up my one finger for every word that we're saying in the sentence. So I can walk. That's three words. And then I'll ask a few more students to give me other sentences. Most of the time, if one kid says, I can walk, another kid will be like, I can run, I can swim, I can climb, whatever it might be. So I try to get them to also add details. I can walk fast, let's say. And so we'll build on that sentence. And then what I will do is I will write the sentence out with my students. I will model for my students what it looks like to write a sentence. So an uppercase to start the sentence, using finger spaces, stretching out words and encoding the sounds that we hear as we are writing the sentence, using punctuation, all of those things, and then pointing to each word as we reread the sentence again. So regular words, even though students will be able to decode them if they've been taught the sound, is a perfect opportunity to also work on other skills with our students as well when we're trying to move that word into sight word territory. And I do that through writing sentences, counting words in sentences, practicing decoding skills with it and encoding skills and all that kind of stuff. That's for regular words. When we're talking about irregular words, words that the students might not yet have the skills in order to decode on their own, I'm thinking of the word me. So e. And even though we might have talked about the sound for E and E being a long vowel sound, students might not yet know that if you haven't taught long vowel sounds to your students. But this is another perfect opportunity to teach them something that I didn't know about until a couple years ago. Like, this is not something I was taught in school. The difference between a closed syllable and an open syllable. And again, I'm no expert in all of this. Let's be honest. I'm slowly learning all of these things alongside my students. But why is me not meh? Why is it a long E sound at the end of the word me? And it's because it is an open syllable. There is no consonant that comes after that vowel. And so that it gives it that space to make it the long sound. You can also hear it in the word go, g-o. What other ones can I think of? My, go, she, he, be, there's like a bunch of them, we, all of those have a long vowel sound that come at the end of the word. And because they are open syllables, there is a long vowel sound that comes at the end. If we were to put a consonant at the end of that, so instead of B we add a T at the end, all of a sudden it becomes bet, and that E becomes a short vowel sound because now it's a closed syllable because that consonant is there at the end of the syllable to close that sound and turn that vowel into a short vowel sound. Would that be a lesson that I would generally teach my students just on its own? No, I'd rather take the time and make it really impressionable for my students by using words that they're going to need to use and by teaching them using the high frequency word lessons that I'm doing anyways. So when I get to one of those words, the first time I teach them about open and closed syllables. And then when we get to another word that has an open or closed syllable, I will review that with them again. So if I teach them the word me first, and then we're talking about she, I'll remind them of the difference between open and closed syllables. I'll also review it if I'm doing a decoding practice with my students. Usually I do CBC words with my students. I will take off a consonant every once in a while at the end of a CBC word and ask them how that changes the vowel sound. So if, let's say, we're doing, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a word that would work with. All right, let's say we're decoding the CVC word wed, and we go wed, wed. I would take away the D sound at the end of the word. I would take away the letter D, and then I would ask them, oh my goodness, what did I just do with this word? It was wed. Now I've taken away the D sound. How does that change? And for some of them, they'll say wed, wed, wed. And I'll say, but when I take away the consonant, what does it do to our syllable? And then most of the time, a light bulb will go off in their head and they'll make the connection that now it's an open syllable and it's now the word e, we, because the long vowel sound gets to come out in an open syllable. So you can take that opportunity to teach other spelling rules to your students when you're teaching those irregular words. And now that they know about open and closed syllables, the we or the be, she, he, whatever, it is no longer going to be a hard word for them. It's no longer an irregular word. You've taught them the spelling rule. They know how to decode that word now. Now it's just a high frequency word that they can start decoding because they know the rules. It takes a lot of practice. Don't get me wrong. Like, they're not going to understand open and closed syllables right away. But even if I'm priming their understanding of that so that in the older grades they start hearing about open and closed syllables and they have like an understanding of what that is, for some of my kids they are completely ready to understand open and closed syllables and they'll start using that. But when, you know, they're getting into those older grades doing multisyllabic words and they need to understand open and closed syllables, at least they have like that basis of understanding for it. And, you know, they can come back and it's like just that practice that they've been doing in the lower grades is now being applied to their higher grades as well. If they don't understand it, I'm not all that worried about it at all. It's just something that I like to teach them. And it's how I can easily differentiate a lesson for, you know, my students that are just learning the basics of decoding versus my students that, you know, are ready to read and are ready to learn more about the spelling rules that make up our English language. Another spelling rule that I taught my students through the word have. Usually when we see that silent E at the end of a word, we think that it's like that bossy E that makes the vowel say its long sound, but that doesn't work in the high frequency word have, because it's making that short A vowel sound. So why does it end in an E? And so instead of teaching it to them as an irregular word that, you know, just in this case, the A is making the short vowel sound, even though there's a silent E at the end, instead, I can teach them the rule that no word in the English language ends in a V. In fact, no words in the English language end in an I, V, U, or J. So if I can teach them that, you know, the E is there to protect the V from being at the end of a word, then that's why that the E has nothing to do with the vowel. That's why that vowel is making that short vowel sound. And so now that's no longer an irregular word for my students. They actually have a basis for understanding the spelling rule that no words end in a V, U, J, or I. The same thing for the high frequency word my. Why is my a Y at the end? Well, but there's no word that ends in an I. So the Y is actually taking the vowel sound I at the end there. So it's really easy to take those rules and teach them the rules of our English, our spelling rules in the English language through those high frequency words. I'm sure I'm missing other ones. Those are the two main ones that I taught my students. And then once they have those for those high frequency words, then they're able to apply it to their reading and their writing throughout, you know, their journey in kindergarten. And hopefully as they go into the older grades, their other educators are also reinforcing those spelling rules for students as well, so that they really get to know them. And my hope is, as they get into multisyllabic words, as they are like no longer learning to read, but reading to learn, they are able to use those spelling rules to help them decode and comprehend much higher level vocabulary and harder sentences for them to read as well. But it's just like a fun way to differentiate the learning that is happening in the classroom, add a little bit more into those high frequency word lessons, and move those heart words and irregular words into sight words for my students as well. So those are kind of the main things that I do when I'm teaching high frequency words to my students. I hope that, you know, this gave you some ideas of how you can also use your high frequency word lessons or your literacy lessons to go deeper a little bit into the English language. Like, our students are so competent and capable. I have been teaching students for years, and the things that they are able to learn is incredible. And so if we teach them things, and most of the time I think, oh, there's no way they're going to get this. When I'm teaching about, like, you know, open and close syllables, I was like iffy on whether they're going to be able to learn it. They surprise me every time. They just blow me away. And I want to give them the opportunity to be able to learn these things. You know, not everything is going to stick, but if I teach them a bunch of spelling rules and even one or two of them sticks, I'm a very happy camper. So I do share over on my Instagram some phonics tips of the week. I think I share them every Wednesday. And so far, I think I have like 13 of them that I have shared. I will put a link in the show notes to a guide that has all of them in it so that you can learn some of these spelling rules for yourself, so that when you come across them, when you're teaching either high frequency words or you're just reading something with students and you come across a word that's not spelled regularly, most of the time there is a spelling rule that explains why the word is spelt that way. And so what I'll do is I'll share those phonics tips of the weeks with you, and you can just get to learn more of our English language spelling rule. I hear a lot of educators say, like, oh, English just doesn't make sense some of the time, so we just need to know this by heart. Whereas sometimes, and a lot of the time, there is a reason for why, you know, that word is spelled like that way. Like the word R, A-R-E. Why is there an E at the end? Like, why can't it just be R, A-R? Because that's a diphthong? I can't remember what that's called. AR is, I think, a diphthong. I could be totally wrong with that. But why is there an E at the end? Technically, that E doesn't need to be there, but it's not a bossy E. It's not making that vowel say, it's short, it's long sound. Why is that there? And there is a silent E rule where it is there to add length to important words so that the word isn't too short. And so it's not just an AR. That's just one of the spelling rules that I now know, and that's why that E is there. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones that I can think of off the top of my head. For a lot of our high frequency words that end in an S, the S isn't making the sound that we normally hear, the S sound. It's making more of a Z sound. Is, as, was. So you're hearing a lot of that S sound. The S sound is making that Z sound at the end of words. Why is that happening? Well, that is one of the sounds of S. It's not one of the ones that we frequently teach our students when we're teaching the sounds to our students, but it is, I don't even know. I'm going to make up a figure right now. Let's say at the end of words, that S making the Z sound makes up 60% of words, whatever it might be. I have to look up that actual figure. That is actually one of my phonics tips of the week that's coming up in the next few weeks. But so I definitely have to look it up. But knowing that the S also makes a Z sound, as an educator, I'm able to say that to my students as I'm teaching that high frequency word to them. So knowing all of those, not knowing all of the spelling rules, but knowing some spelling rules and looking up why words are spelled the way they are spelled so that we can talk to students about it is so important, because most of the time the English language does make sense. We just don't know the spelling rule for it yet. And I was never taught these rules when I was in school, and a lot of people weren't. So let's try to like teach some of those rules to students so that they get to know them, so that the English language does start making sense for them. But yeah, I hope this was helpful to you. Definitely check out my phonics tips of the week. I will share that in the show notes for you so you can take a look at it. And I really want to thank you for joining me for this week's episode of the Creative Kindergarten Podcast. I put out new episodes usually every It's been a little bit iffy with the new baby, but I'm hoping to have them more regularly put out every Tuesday. But make sure you are following me on whatever podcast platform you're currently listening to me on so that you are made aware whenever I put out new episodes. If you haven't already rated the podcast, I know that there's a way to give me a review on the podcast. I would love that, or share the podcast with other educators that you may know so that they can find it as well. It just helps this podcast reach new listeners. And yeah, make sure you're following me over my Instagram. Check out those phonics tips of the week. Learn a new spelling rule this week. I find them so interesting and so fun to know, so that I can make new connections when I learn new words. So that's another one. Open syllable. So that's why that O is making its long sound at the end of the word. Just thought of a new one. But yeah, I hope you have a great day, and I will talk to you all again next time. Bye.